Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Pitam suke pritunitam bani vispurantya.
Pitam suke pritunitam bani vispurantya.
Kanchya libir virutaya vanamalaya cha. Valgu prakoshna valayam vinata sutamse. Valayam. Vinyasta hastamitarena dunanam abjam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. He was adorned with a girdle that shone brightly on the yellow cloth covering his large hips, and he wore a garland of fresh flowers which was distinguished by humming bees. His lovely wrists were graced with bracelets, and he rested one of his limbs on the shoulder of Garuda, his carrier, and twirled a lotus with another hand. Purport. Here is a full description of the personality of Godhead as personally experienced by the sages. The Lord's personal body was covered with yellow robes, and his waist was thin. In Vaikuntha, where whenever there is a flower garland on the chest of the personality of Godhead, or any of his associates, it is described that the humming bees are there. All these features were very beautiful and attractive for the devotees. One of the Lord's hands rested on his carrier, Garuda, and in another hand he twirled a lotus flower. These are personal characteristics of the personality of Godhead, Narayana. Text 41. Vidyut shipan makara kundala mandanarha gandastalo nasamukham manimat piritam durdanda shanda vivare parata parardya Harina kanda dagatena chakostubhena. His countenance was distinguished by cheeks that enhanced the beauty of his alligator-shaped pendants, which outshone lightning. His nose was prominent, and his head was covered with a gem-studded crown. A charming necklace hung between his stout arms, and his neck was adorned with the gem known by the name Kaustubha. 42. Atropa shrishtam iti chotsmitam indiraya swanam diya virachitam bahusaushtavajyam mahiyam bhavasya bhavatam cha bhajantamangam. Nemur nirikshanad vitriptad visho mudat kaish atra. Here in the matter of the beauty. Upasrishtam.
Curbed down.
Iti. Thus.
Cha.
And.
Utsmitam,
the pride of her beauty.
Indiraya,
of the goddess of fortune.
Swanam,
of his own devotees.
Dhiya,
by intelligence.
Virachitam,
meditated on.
Bahushaushnava
adyam.
Very beautifully decorated.
Mahyam.
Of me.
Bhavasya.
Of Lord Shiva. Bhavatam.
Of all of you.
Cha.
And. Bhajantam. Worshipped.
Angam.
The figure.
Nemuhu.
Bowed down.
Nidikshya.
After seeing.
Na.
Not.
Vitripta.
Satiated.
Drishaha.
Eyes.
Muda.
Joyously.
Kaih.
By their heads. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The exquisite beauty of Narayana, being many times magnified by the intelligence of his devotees, was so attractive that it defeated the pride of the goddess of fortune in being the most beautiful. My dear demigods, the Lord who thus manifested himself is worshipable by me, by Lord Shiva, and by all of you. The sages regarded him with unsated eyes and joyously bowed their heads at his lotus feet. Purport. The beauty of the Lord was so enchanting that it could not be sufficiently described. The goddess of fortune is supposed to be the most beautiful sight within the spiritual and material creations of the Lord. She has a sense of being the most beautiful, yet her beauty was defeated when the Lord appeared. In other words, the beauty of the goddess of fortune is secondary in the presence of the Lord. In the words of Vaishnav poets, it is said that the Lord's beauty is so enchanting that it defeats hundreds and thousands of cupids. He is therefore called Madan Mohana. It is also described that the Lord sometimes becomes mad after the beauty of Radharani. Poets describe that under the circumstances, although Lord Krishna is Madan Mohana, he becomes Madan Daha, or enchanted by the beauty of Radharani. Actually, the Lord's beauty is super excellent, surpassing even the beauty of Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. The devotees of the Lord in Vaikuntha planet want to see the Lord as the most beautiful. But the devotees in Gokula, or Krishna Loka, want to see Radharani as more beautiful than Krishna. The adjustment is that the Lord, being Bhaktivatsala, or one who wants to please his devotees, assumes such features so that devotees like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other demigods may be pleased. Here also for the devotee sages, the Kumaras, the Lord appeared in his most beautiful feature, and they continued to see him without satiation, and wanted to continue seeing him more and more. So what is the greatest opulence of the Lord? He has unlimited opulences, but for convenience sake, Parashara Rishi, speaking the Vishnu Purana, has divided them into six. Aishwaryasya, samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriyaha gyanavairagyayus chaiva chanam bhaga itingina. Well, Bhagavan is whoever possesses bhaga. Bhagavan. Supposedly, the difference between van and ini is that if you in, it possess, it describes temporary possession, whereas van describes permanent possession. Dandee is someone who holds a stick, not that a stick is built into his body. But Bhagavan is someone who inherently possesses bhaga, opulences. And the opulences are of six kinds, according to Parashara. Power to control, Aishvarya. All of it. Some people, or everybody, has some little power of control. Even the person who is just a slave, he has control over his own body. He can dictate to his finger to wiggle, unless he's paralyzed. But generally, everybody, even a person who's totally paralyzed, he has some fantasies in his mind about doing things. He can have some control over his own mind. Everybody has some control. But Bhagavan has absolute, total control of everything to unlimited extent. And that samagrasya adjective can be connected with all of the six opulences. All of each one of them. Completely. complete in extent and quality, or complete in varieties and in measurement, unlimited. Viryasya, physical power. Yasha, fame. Jnana, knowledge. Vairagya, and I skipped one. Shriyaha, beauty. Knowledge and renunciation. So which one is the greatest? Krishna's beauty is special. But that's just, the real greatest glory of God is that he's all attractive. Therefore the name is Krishna. He attracts with all of his opulences. Some devotees are particularly attracted to his beauty. Some devotees are attracted to his knowledge, just like we read in the last part of the third canto about the teachings of Lord Kapiladeva to his mother. So usually mothers think their children are very beautiful, but she's attracted to her son because he's the most knowledgeable. She's attracted to his knowledge, even though she's his mother. And that's what she's asking for. She's not saying, let me see your pretty face. She's saying, please enlighten me. Give me your knowledge. So some devotees are attracted to other opulences more than the beauty. But in general, what makes God God is that he's all attractive. What makes Krishna God, at least. God may be less than all attractive in some of his expansions. Maybe only somewhat attractive to some devotees. But when you put God together in his complete form, he's all attractive. Akila Rasamrita Sindhu, Krishna in particular, in contrast to any other expanded form of God, is the reservoir of all the rasas. Rasa is that power by which the Lord attracts his devotees. And the devotees reciprocate by attracting the Lord. The channel, the medium, is rasa. Just like sound and light waves, light waves, say, are transmitted through the ether. Although 20th century scientists in 1901, Michelson Morley performed an experiment where they tried to measure, detect the luminiferous ether through which light was supposedly traveling. And because, what was the reason? Because there was no difference in the time it for light to pass through one direction and another direction. They concluded that there is no ether. If there wasn't ether, it would slow down the speed of the light or something like that. Anyway, they concluded, and it's the accepted knowledge of the 20th and 21st century, that there is no ether. Light moves in a vacuum, in nothing. And therefore, it can't be waves, because waves are can't actually be just waves, because waves have to have a medium. There is no medium. There must be, in another sense, particles. Anyway, that's just modern theory. The eternal Vedic theory is that there is an ether, and that light travels through that medium. Medium is there. Similarly, the ecstasy of Krishna that he shares with his devotees is transmitted through the medium of rasa. Raso vai saha rasam hi eva yam labdva anandi bhavati. He is the reservoir of rasa. Just like if you want to use electricity, you have to know where to obtain it. You have to make a plan to build a powerhouse, a place where you generate electricity. Then you have to figure out how to store it, and how to transmit it, and how to control it. So the reservoir, the powerhouse of all rasa, is the Lord, the absolute truth, the same Brahman that all the Upanishads are talking about. He's not just one without a second and so on. He's the reservoir of pleasure. And what can you do with this rasa? Just like they discovered electricity centuries before, but they didn't know what to do with it. They generated static electricity and performed parlor tricks with it. You know, they'd entertain people by making them touch the generator and have their hair stand on end. And that was the extent of the use of electricity. just for parlor tricks. Similarly, what do you do with rasa anyway? So what? But raso hi evayamlamdva, one of the living entity, was finite and capable of being miserable and confused. When he comes in contact, when he realizes the absolute truth and establishes his relationship with the absolute truth, rasam, what does he get? He gets the rasa. What's the basis of our relationship with Krishna? That rasa, that luminiferous ether through which ecstasy is transmitted. It's the rasa that we get.
Now,
what do you want to worship Krishna for? To get some money in your bank account? To get some reputation? These are trivial things. But the valuable thing you can get is rasa. Prema, which is comprised of rasa. Rasa, and when you get that rasa, that is equivalent to establishing a relationship with Krishna. That's the substance of the relationship. Then you become blissful. Of course, that's not the purpose of devotional service. Devotional service is selfless. Prema is selfless. The devotee's purpose is to give pleasure to Krishna, not to take pleasure. The getting the pleasure, becoming anandi, full of bliss, is secondary. We want to see that Krishna, the devotee should want to see that Krishna is happy. And then they become happy because Krishna makes them happy in exchange. The four Kumaras, they're experiencing bliss. But they're not selfish. It's not that a minute ago, a minute ago they were equipoised, indifferent, impersonless, and now they've been infected by this tulsi smell, and now they become materialists all of a sudden. Selfish materialists, just interested in their own pleasure. No, it can't be like that. They're experiencing bliss, but what they're contemplating is what's the bliss come from? In devotional service, in prema, in Vaikuntha. It comes from trying to please Krishna, then you become pleased. There's no other pleasure otherwise. Nothing else pleases devotees. When a person is addicted to something, nothing else is interesting to him. A person who is addicted to gambling will forget about eating, about sleeping, and just sit at the roulette table day and night. And whatever else the addiction is. If you're really addicted, then if you're really obsessed, then you don't care about anything else. You're not interested, and you're not attracted to anything else. Like that, one who's tasting rasa, real rasa of Krishna Prema, he loses interest in any selfish sense gratification. And that situation is only beneficial for him. If you become obsessed with a material addiction, you can destroy your life. You can forget to eat. You can forget to feed your family and get in serious trouble. You can ruin yourself and ruin life for everybody around you. But when you become addicted and obsessed by Krishna, there's no harm done. It's only beneficial. If you can give up your attachment to sense gratification, it's not going to hurt you, and it's not going to hurt anybody else, actually. Your parents and friends may be dissatisfied with you, but what do they know? Actually, to become obsessed with Krishna is the most auspicious thing you can do for yourself or anybody else. I'm talking as if I knew something about that. Any questions or comments?
And then in the bus, there's some line like the beauty of Narayana was magnified by the intelligence of the devotees.
Yeah. Now, where did that come from? Was it the translation?
Yeah, it was in that
translation. Let's try to identify that in the verse. Swanam Diya by the intelligence of his devotees. Oh. And then Prabhupada took Virachitam and made it mean magnified. Rach means to usually to construct.
Yeah.
But when you construct something big, you know, you can pile it up and up, it increases. Like, you know. So okay, that's where Prabhupada gets it from. Yeah, Krishna becomes more beautiful when he's enjoying the reciprocation of, or the devotees appreciate him. And vice versa, the devotees become beautiful. Yeah. The real source of beauty is loving exchange. If nobody cares for you, then you don't feel beautiful and you don't appear beautiful. But when someone cares about you, then you automatically exude beauty. That's what's happening even with Krishna. Anyway, he can be infinitely beautiful if no one's looking at him. What difference does it make? But when the devotees see the beauty, then it's enhanced. For them, it's enhanced. Subjectively, for them. But the more they meditate on it, the more beautiful he appears. And even objectively, his beauty increases when his devotees reciprocate with him, when they honor him and do service for him. So Prabhupada wanted to bring that out, so he pulled that out of the words. Out of Swanam Diya Virachitam. I don't think we see that in Sridhar Swami's commentary, although we haven't really looked at it yet.
Yeah.
It may show up in Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary, maybe. We'll see. We'll look at all the commentaries on this verse and see where that comes from. Okay.
Literally, if you translate it, literally, it's weird that Krishna's beauty is... It's
manufactured
by the intelligence.
Yeah, it's vanity. But
it's like beauty in the eye of the beholder.
Okay, well, see. Let's just study what our various commentators have to say about that. What their different insights into that are. Because looking at the word, it means that they produced it.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm not. I don't want to guess about it without looking at the commentaries. Okay, anything else? Thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.